Passage this morning comes from 1 Peter, chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Hear the reading of God's holy word. And finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. It's the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Would like to just clarify something here before we get too started. We're talking about the passage. But I'd like to begin this morning by drawing your attention to a single word in our passage near the end of verse 9, which the ESV translates as to obtain. That is to may obtain a blessing. I would just like to point out, just for clarity, not error, but just clarity. It's a word that the King James Version of the Bible, the New King James Version of the Bible, the New American Standard Version of the Bible, all word for word translations, and even the Christian Standard Bible and the NIV translation, English translations of the Bible, word for thought translations, all translate as inherit. You may inherit a blessing. So for this you were called, that you may inherit a blessing. And it's an important word to be clear on, to have a clear understanding of, because technically speaking, no one obtains blessings from God in the sense of earning or deserving blessings. So we shouldn't be confused there. Rather, blessings of God are inherited. A meaning of that very word that may not come across as clearly when it's interpreted as obtain. They are inherited, these blessings of God. That is, they are freely given by God, merely of grace and only for the sake of Christ's merits. This very, very much, you understand, is a gift. As Paul tells us in elsewhere, that you were saved by grace through faith. This is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God. So no one can boast. So it's very much like a gift. No one earns or deserves a gift. Gifts are freely given. So the only sense in which it would be appropriate to speak of obtaining a blessing from God would be in the sense of merely taking possession of a gift that's already been given. It's your inheritance, Christians. Not something you're trying to earn. It's something that's yours in Christ. And you're obtaining it as in taking possession of this blessing which God has already given to you in Christ. We need to be clear on that. Because everything that Peter tells us to be in verse 8 and everything that he tells us to do in verse 9 is, as he says, for this purpose. That you may inherit or take possession of the blessing which is already yours. So let's try to keep that clear as we think more deeply about this passage of Scripture. And so after explaining, just to back up just a little bit, after explaining the God-ordained order and purpose for Christian relationships, specifically in areas of human society, in specific areas between believers and unbelievers, rulers and citizens, masters and slaves, which in our society might translate somewhat as employers and employees. It's not an exact analogy, but similar. There are still places in the world where there are countries that have slaves. So we left that in there. We need to be aware of that. This is a instruction to husbands, masters, slaves, husbands, wives. And now Peter turns to explain the God-ordained order and purpose for relationships between believers. Specifically, those within the household of God, the family of God. We just came from the family, human families. Now we're in the family of God arena of Paul's thoughts. And this is for all believers, as Paul said, or Peter says, for all times, at all times. Not in order to earn a blessing, but to be clear, rather to inherit or take possession of blessings that have already been given to them by God in Christ. Paul speaks to believers, all believers at all times. So you can understand it's kind of important for us as believers in Christ to be clear on this matter of inheriting blessings. Right? That's pretty important. This sounds really important. For to this, Peter says, we were called. You were called. You're elected before the foundations of the world, as Peter pointed out earlier on, according to the foreknowledge of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are called, as Peter says here, caused to be born again, going back to chapter 2. Chapter 1, you have been caused to be born again by the great mercy of God, and by the power of God are being guarded through faith, not only for salvation to come, the salvation he speaks elsewhere of that is ready already to be revealed in the last times, but for the taking possession of those very blessings right now. For this you were called, Peter says, so that you may inherit a blessing. Now. Already. Even though its fullest glory awaits the last day, the return of Christ, when faith will become sight. Peter says, for this you are called now to possess that blessing. And if you are a believer, all of these blessings became yours the moment that you believed in Christ. They were yours in that very moment. Whether you realized it at the time or not, you were declared righteous by God. Not for your sake, of course, but for Christ's sake. Not for your merits, but Christ's merits. You were a sinner. And God declared you righteous in Christ. And we're still sinners. And we are still righteous in Christ in God's eyes. The moment that we believed, the moment that you believed, you were given the Holy Spirit. You were adopted into the family of God, the church. You were called to have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, tender heart, and a humble mind. For this you were called, says Peter, to possess, to inherit a blessing that had already been given to you, laid up in heaven by God Himself, even before the foundations of the world, your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And this, along with all other believers in Christ, all of them, at all times, to repay good for evil and to bless for reviling, for the purpose of inheriting or taking possession of the blessings of God, blessings which He has already given you in Christ. They are yours irrevocably, even though the fullness of their glory awaits the last day. That is who you are in Christ. The instant you believed. All of you, says Peter, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. Bless. For to this you were called. Every one of us. All believers at all times. There are no exceptions. That is the same for every one of us who believe. All the time. And at the top of Peter's list, he says, to have amongst ourselves a unity of mind. A unity of mind, a like-mindedness, a harmony of mind concerning what it is that we believe and understand as defining of the overarching goal of our entire lives. For example, to know God through Christ and glorify Him in all that we do. You heard that before? I hope so. An overarching vision of life derived from the Scriptures alone and summed in our creeds and confessions, which define what we as a body of believers believe the Bible to teach to the best of the ability God has given us. And that, together with our vision statement, unite and guide us individually and corporately at all times in knowing God through Christ and glorifying Him in all that we do. It's disturbing when I hear, and I hear it frequently, from confessing Christians. Laity and officers, I've heard it, that they don't believe at all what their church believes. Not at all. Some are proud of it, some are ashamed of it. But they don't believe at all what their church believes. They don't believe at all what they have solemnly joined themselves to, by oath, they don't believe it. I'm not sure what to make of that. I'm not sure what to make of Christians like that. And of course, the universal excuse is always something to do with love. I just love them so much. I'm trying to love them, trying to convert them in the church, but I don't believe what they believe, but I'm there. What do you do with that? At best, they're confused. At worst, they're diabolical. What do we make of that? For here, in the first line at the top of Peter's final list of instructions for all believers, at all times, is that they have unity of mind. Unity of mind. Unfortunately, it would seem that many confessing Christians today have embraced the world's view of unity, a self-governing autonomy, to the point that we're having unity of mind within the church is considered foolish, backwards, even shameful. Creeds and confessions, those useless crutches of a bygone age used today of the small, witless, inferior, narrow-minded group of people incapable of thinking for themselves. Incapable of making their own decisions about life. No creed but Christ. Whatever that means. Whatever it is, it's strikingly similar to what the culture of the Roman Empire was saying about Christianity in Peter's day and about Christians, believers, which makes Peter's advice to us here all the more applicable today. All of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may inherit a blessing. Love is not as the world says it is today, this feeling you get when you experience things. Love cannot be separated from God. Love cannot be separated from the truth. It cannot be separated from good. And at its center, love is doing good. Even when you don't feel like it. That's what biblical love is. And we need to be clear about that. Just like we need to be clear that the blessings of God cannot be earned. We can't obtain them by what we do. They can't be earned. They are inherited or given. Obtaining them is not to earn them, but merely to take possession of them. And they are obtained by no other means than that by which God Himself gives them. Chief among which, Peter says, is through having unity of mind. Unity of mind among believers. And apart from having unity of mind, you see, nothing else can follow. If we're not speaking the same language, we're not communicating. We're not communicating sympathy or understanding, compassionate understanding as it's defined, is impossible. If you don't have unity of mind, how in the world are you going to understand each other? You're not talking the same language. How do you have sympathy? How do you have understanding? Brotherly love is reduced to mere self-love. You can love people, but you can't brotherly love them if they don't believe what you believe. if you don't have unity of mind. Compassion is reduced to mere pity, just like it is in the world. Mere pity, or worse, maybe a mild annoyance that you're so needy. And humility is nothing but self, vain self-glory. It's empty. And in all of history, there has never, nor will there ever be a family or a society or a church that has lasted long without having unity of mind. Every time a church has given up or compromised what it believes, what it believes the Bible to teach, whether right or wrong, every single time they have compromised, they soon vanish. They disappear altogether. They become so radical and wild that they're not even recognizable anymore. And don't take my word for it, just look at the news. Look at the news of these once great Reformed churches that now are splintering and fracturing and breaking apart. Read our own history of what happened to the Reformed Church of the United States back in the 1930s. Perhaps this is why Peter has been so adamant just throughout the first 2.5 chapters of this letter, so adamant about putting away all deceit and hypocrisy among you. Put it away. Chapter 2, verse 1. And following the example left by Jesus, him who committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. Chapter 2, verse 22. And again here with a quote from Psalm 34 containing instructions from David for inheriting blessings drawn from his own experience, his own interactions with Saul at a time when Saul was hunting for his life. Whoever desires love and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, even when their enemy is seeking their life. As the farmers used to say, that's a tough row to hoe. Christians, believers, Peter says, for this you were called. You were called. For this very thing. All of us, all believers at all times, Old Testament believers like David, New Testament believers like Peter, we are all to have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, tender heart, a humble mind, so as to repay good for evil and blessing for reviling, that we may inherit and take possession even here and now of the blessings that God has already given us in Christ. And we're only fooling ourselves if we think we can get those blessings in any other way than how God has prescribed, how He has given them, the means He chooses by which to give them. Mainly unity of mind. And out of that, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart and a humble mind, and those are just to name a few. You could find all other kinds of blessings available to us already from God in Christ, in the Scriptures. The fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, you know, all of those. All blessings already yours in Christ. Inheritance ready to be obtained, possessed now. Whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, because for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. As we said last week, prayer is not our way of influencing, meddling with God. Prayer is God's way of changing us, blessing us. It is a means by which we inherit these blessings of God that are already ours. In the same way, and these tough situations and circumstances that we see God putting His people through, that we, His people, go through ourselves. You ever think that that's God sovereignly putting us in places and in circumstances that cause us to pray? Not to change the will of God, but to bring down His blessings upon us, those that are already ours. His means for conforming us more and more into the image of Christ. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. This is classic wisdom literature warning. The way of the wicked, the way of the righteous. The Lord knows, as Psalm 1 tells us, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows it, He guards it, He protects it. Just like Peter says, you are born into a living hope, an eternal inheritance, and you are being guarded by God, by the power of God, through faith in Jesus Christ. God knows the way of the righteous. He made it. He knows the way of the wicked, and it will perish. You see, such things are not earned by us. We're not going to step out and do something novel to earn or merit God's favor. These things are given. They are an inheritance. They are given, and they may only be inherited by the means by which God has given them. You want God's blessings? Seek the means of grace that God has given. Seek peace. Pursue it. Love God, love people. Not simply with your emotions. Do good. Get rid of deceit. Get rid of hypocrisy. Have unity of mind. We don't need to compromise anything. Compromise is a lack of faith in God. An assumption that well, if I do this, I might accomplish this. This is not how it works. It's not how it works. We don't need to compromise or turn to the world's ways in order to defend who we are as the children of God. We are not children of God by the ways of the world or by our ways. We're children of God by the grace of God. Grace freely given to us by grace and merely for the sake of Christ. We don't need to compromise. The way of the righteous and the way of the wicked is always before us. And Peter says, we are called to unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, tender heart, and a humble mind, so that we may inherit a blessing, so that we can take possession of it right here, right now, of what is already ours. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we do thank you for your word in the scriptures. We stand humbled before it. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. We know there are many. There are many things that we have done and things, so many, Lord, that we have not done as we ought. So, Lord, as we go on our day and our way this week, to let us remember your word. Let us remember our calling as Christians, every one of us, throughout all of history, past, present, and future, at all times. Let us remember our calling. Let us remember the means by which you give us. You have provided already there before our very eyes the means that you have given us for the inheriting of your blessings. Lord, and so much more than that, the likes of glory that we cannot even imagine to be revealed in the last day. So, Lord, encourage us. Help our faith. Help our faith. Help our obedience, Lord. Not out of some petty works righteousness, but, Lord, out of love. Out of a love for the truth. Out of a love for you. Out of a love for what is right and what is good. Not in our own eyes, but in your eyes. Father, we ask this blessing upon this church, and we ask this very ministry of our people in this community, and Lord, everywhere you send us across this world, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.